The views and opinions expressed by the guests on the following program do not necessarily represent those of Mark Radio, The Shepherd, or its advertisers.
From the studios of the Shepherd Radio Network, it's Afternoons with Mike. This next hour is all about our walk with Jesus, with local pastors, newsmakers, people who are making a difference for the gospel. Now, here is your host, Mike Gilland.
Hey friends, and welcome once again to my program. I have a guest in the studio, and her name is Anna Woods, and her husband Darren's accompanying her for moral support and and just to be there. I tell you what, it is so great to meet the two of you. I understand that Darren knows my good friend Pete Allinson, and that's always a good thing to meet somebody that has had his life affected as I have had by my meeting with Pete as well. Anna, it's so delightful to learn your story, and we're going to spend this first segment just learning a little bit about how you got to where you are today. And I know you are a life coach and a grief coach, and I know that those two are kind of like maybe two ways of expressing the big picture of what you do on a day-in and day-out basis. I know that you have a whole history before that that we're going to explore as well. Welcome to my program.
Thank you so much. It's such a pleasure to be with you this morning in this wonderful studio, and I am blessed by this opportunity.
Well, you know, as I mentioned to you, when we get to do this, talk radio like this is really just a conversation, and I know the people are going to really be blessed by this conversation because I've had a chance to go through your website and just your motive, your heart, the compassion that you have for people is evident even in just perusing through the pages of your website. So that's very exciting. So first of all, before we get into what you do as a life coach, has a story that is very poignant all by itself. Tell us a little bit about your background as to how you came to know the Lord.
So I was raised in a family that was very close-knit. My mother and my father were both believers. They demonstrated their life in Christ. And so as a result of that, I came to Christ at a very early age. My most wonderful moments were spent singing and praying as a family, and watching my parents sing and pray and model their faith out loud as a family. And so I got baptized at an early age, and I've lived a life for Christ, not without sin, because we all have fallen short.
Sure.
But I've certainly lived a life for Christ and have a heart for his people.
That is a great story. Where did you grow up? What part of the country?
I grew up in a small town called Melbourne, Florida. It's just an hour and 10 minutes east of here.
Okay.
Graduated high school and actually went to the community college there in Melbourne.
Yeah. See, every now and then I get to meet a true Floridian born and raised in the state of Florida. That's great. You know, it is a real treat, is it not, to have had a heritage that you've just described, to grow up. So many, Anna, they're living today, and I know you're bumping into a lot of them yourself, and that's some of the people that you're reaching. They've grown up without any knowledge at all. Possibly some of them not even have ever heard the good news once, the gospel of Jesus once, and they're adults, and they're trying to sort all this crazy life out. You know, I'm sure you have an answer for this. What do people do without the Lord?
People are generally lost. They're tossed to and fro, and the foundation that's required to heal lies in our relationship with Jesus Christ. And I am so grateful for the foundation that I have and that I'm able to share the gospel with others through the work that I do. I believe it's a calling that God has placed on my life. I think the journey has been upon me for a long time. Sometimes we're on a journey, we don't recognize it till God reveals to us. Can't reveal it all at one time. We wouldn't know what to do. So,
right.
So just helping those that may be lost find their footing and found their foundation in a very practical way.
Did you find your faith ever going through? You mentioned, obviously, we've all fallen short of the glory of God. Was there a period that was more significant than any other where you found as maybe as a teen or in your 20s, your faith being questioned?
Of course. In my early years, I am a product of a blended family. I'm divorced. And so in that early marriage, my faith wavered. It was not what I expected out of life. And I think life comes at us in that way when we don't expect it. And I would say that grief began right at that moment, because we grieve in a way that we don't often recognize. Mm-hmm. And so the losses that we incur in our life, the sin that we find ourselves in our lives, will often pull us away from Christ, away from our foundation. And so this grief journey is about bringing those closer back to Christ in their walk.
You know, Scripture talks about comfort one another with the comfort that you yourself have walked in. Mm-hmm. And I know that there had to be people that were with you during that time that you look back on and you'd say, I don't know what I would have done if it hadn't been for them.
I don't know what I would have done had it not been for the Lord. And I can tell you, I had the pivotal point at the lowest times of my life where I found myself driving. I wandered into my home church in Melbourne, and I received prayer and from a group that was meeting at the church, and that was really a turning point for me. My foundation was girded up. I became strong again in the Lord, and the path changed for me.
Isn't it something how just a one-time event like that, when a person is in crisis, and I think that is the beautiful thing about what you do on an ongoing basis, you have multiple opportunities day in and day out to encounter those pinnacle moments, those one-time events, just like what you had as one who needed that kind of comfort, just driving into thinking you're going to be maybe sitting in solitude and finding a prayer meeting going on and being prayed for, and your strength, your faith, your life touched, changed to the glory of God.
Absolutely. Amen.
That's amazing. The route you took, you were in business for a number of years. Tell us about that.
Yes. The route I took, I spent 30 plus years in corporate America as a retail district manager. And in that role, I really saw the pain in the people that I manage over time. And so I've always had a heart to coach and mentor, even in my leadership roles. And so that route really led me to where I am today. So I spent 30 plus years in consumer retail. I spent 4.5 years in a nonprofit organization, and I spent quite a few years as CEO of our company, Provets Group.
Mm-hmm.
And then at that point, my mother became ill, and I made some choices of what was next with the leading of the Holy Spirit, which led me to grief recovery.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have a certification as a grief coach as well as a life coach. And so it was almost like a natural progression from one stage to the other, utilizing all those skills to help others move through grief in the way that they need it to.
Do you see a difference between a life coach and a grief coach?
No, I think the grief coach came first, and I did the certification for life coach as a way to teach myself to allow people to express themselves in the way that they need to. So the life coach, it's just a cold, collaborative relationship with those who come to the grief coaching experience, and it just helps move the experience through for the client.
That's wonderful. Now, before we get into the next segment and talking about that in depth and finding out about your business and how one can avail themselves of it, tell us about how you met Darren. That's a story I want to hear.
Well, that's a story within itself. So when I was a general manager at the retail consumer organization that I spoke about earlier, mm-hmm. Darren was a customer. Darren used to come in and sample my bakery and my deli goods.
Now, that was with the grocery store.
That's
with Albertsons.
That's what was Albertsons.
Yeah, right.
On Dr. Phillips Boulevard.
Oh, okay.
So he used to enjoy the snacks around the store. And needless to say, what he was really doing is looking out for his wife.
Now, he's doing that in the little excuse that all men have. They go there for free food. And all of these places that offer it, what man wouldn't want to taste that? But he had deeper ambitions and a greater motive.
That's right.
Than just food.
That's right. He likes to tell people went in for a donut and found themselves a wife. That's his story.
That's awesome. That's great. How many years have you been married?
26 years this year.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah, 26
Well, congratulations
years.
On
Thank
that.
You. Thank you.
That's a wonderful thing. He that finds a wife finds a good thing, whether or not you were looking for food in the beginning. You find a wife, that's an even better. That is for sure. I am talking to Anna Woods, and I'm going to be back with Anna coming up in just a moment. This is Afternoons with Mike right here on The Shepherd. Delighted to have Anna Woods in the studio today. Anna is a life and grief recovery coach, and she has already given us a little bit of her background and how that you worked for Albertsons, that big food chain, for many, many years. And boy, you know, you find out during that time frame that one of the things that really brings delight to your heart was helping others by offering advice. And in this day and age, there is a whole kind of like a job description that includes coaching a life coach. And that was something that I'd never heard of when I was growing up, but it's something that you hear about today all the time. And then there was another event that really solidified the desire to go into not only being a life coach, but being a grief coach as well. Why don't you describe that?
So the event that occurred was my mother became ill in 2015. She subsequently died in 2016. Mm. And during that period of time, I made a choice, my husband and I, that I would begin to transition into a position that placed me in that I could walk in my giftedness. And I really have been using these skills really up my entire career. And so my mother's death was kind of the catalyst, so to speak, that moved me from one place to the other. In the period as my mother began her transition, I felt lost. I felt disconnected, as most people feel. Mm-hmm. We all feel grief differently. And so I did not imagine life ending for my mother. She was in such pain. And so my foundation was rocked as a result of being so close as she transitioned. And so I found myself really in need of some emotional support around my grief. Mm-hmm. Grief, I've discovered, is such a misunderstood emotion. And while we will all experience grief, we all experience grief very differently. And so I went to a grief program which supported me. However, I felt still like something was missing. I needed more. And so I continue to have unresolved grief really in my heart that needed to be dealt with. And so I discovered the grief recovery program, which is a evidence-based, actionable program that walks you through steps to complete the emotions that comes with grief.
Now, why don't you take a moment, when you say that there were these pockets of grief that you knew were still there, is there any way to elaborate on that? Because I think there are people that probably are suffering with that and they don't know it. Without giving deep into specifics, what kind of way would that manifest itself?
So the ways that grief can manifest itself, it manifests itself in anxiety, in stress, in getting overly excited about things that are really not that big of a deal. And some of the things that manifest grief-like emotions, we know now that there's more than 40 emotions that life events that trigger grief-like emotions. And so some of those life events we have all experienced or will experience, such as when I left corporate America, I experienced grief unexpectedly. Mm-hmm. When my children went off to college, I experienced grief.
Oh, absolutely. I can relate to that one.
So we carry that and we don't recognize that as grief. When I went through my first divorce or my divorce, I experienced tremendous grief. I grieved over what I expected life to be like, what the reality of what life really was like. And we all come across those things in our life. I've had folks that come to me with help, needing help in relationships with sisters and brothers that they have been estranged from. I've had clients come that have been grieving for 40 plus years over divorce of their parents. And so we all have these pains that we carry, and the longer we carry them, the heavier the weight becomes. And so the grief recovery method acts as a vehicle to transport some of that and provide relief. I think the biggest reward is I had a gentleman come to my class, which is very difficult for men. And his grief was experienced over not being present in his boy's life as a result of divorce. So he carried a lot of guilt around that. And so today that person has a wonderful relationship with his children, with his boys. He's been able to move beyond that place of feeling guilty. And they're adults now, and they were children then, and he's living a better life. And so the victory in all of this is we're free to serve God in truth and who we are in transparency, because God has forgiven our sins, and forgiveness is a major part of this grief recovery.
You know, when you think about grief now, there is something about that that we all identify with. Like you mentioned, we all go through periods of grief. So how does one know that they're not just going through like blueness, or it's just a sadness that they have? What determines that difference between a normal, like, boy, I'm going to miss them when a friend moves away, or like you said, your child moves to college or gets married? I mean, that's what happened to me back in 98 when my oldest daughter got married. I went through a very strong, surprising, even though I thought I was going to be ready for it, I went through a season of grief that I was shocked. What makes the difference, do you think, in a normal, manageable sadness that somehow then you realize this is deeper than that?
Well, this would be my opinion on that question. If your sadness continues and you're not able to see the good that came out of the relationship with your children, your daughter, if you're only reflecting on the sad things, then you may be grieving. But if you're able to move to a place where you are sad, but you can reflect on the positive sides of that relationship and smile at the end of that, then you're going to, you know, chances are you're going to be okay. So some people go into deep grief that they're not able to pick themselves up out of. That was really not the case for me. I knew my grief exists, but I could see the upside, the beauty, even through grief. I found a new life as a result of my grief.
Yeah, having gone through 36 years of pastoral counseling, I can tell you that there is a close similarity between what you're describing about grief in that context and what people are dealing with and calling depression today, because having, again, counseled people and having experienced some of that myself, there's this downward spiral that happens. And I like the way you expressed it. You said that if they find themselves not being able to get past the sadness, if they find themselves thinking more upon what it has done in a negative sense than the positive things that are coming ahead for either them or for us, that is like a downward spiral, isn't it?
Yes.
And that's where you said it gets into a deeper and deeper state of grief. So what do you tell a person if you're in a class, or you have somebody in that you're coaching, that you begin to realize they're in really the throes of depression? They're in the deep water of grief. What do you tell them?
Well, there's two things here. The deep waters of depression, I would recommend that they see a licensed therapist. I'm not licensed as a therapist. The emotions of grief, there's actionable steps that we take within the program that will help a person work through those areas of their life where they can uncover their true grief and work to a place of completeness. So that's really where the program shows the evidence base that it works. If you are willing to put in the work, the emotional work, because it is emotional, it's a deep dive into your heart, into the things that you, quite frankly, you forget that are even there, but they're weighing you down. So you have to put in the work. And once you move through the work, you get the reward on the other side of that. And that is a release from that pain.
Oh, that's great. The website for Anna's practice is al-woods.com. And again, she is a life and grief coach that is able to help people and is doing that. How does one kind of integrate into your service there? How does that happen? Do you have like group meetings or is it one-on-one?
Actually, I offer quite a few different options. I do one-on-one life coaching and grief coaching. I also have a 8-week grief recovery support group outreach that I offer. I also will take speaking engagements so I can come out and speak to an audience about grief or any related topic as it relates to life coaching. I'm also quite interested in doing anything from a corporate organizational perspective because grief manifests itself in so many different ways, and it's actually reflected in the productivity in an organization. If you nurture a person, if you care and you're compassionate for the people who report to work for you, they will return and reward you in their performance. So mm-hmm. professionally, financially, the grief recovery, even from a corporate perspective, is quite helpful. So those are the things that I offer.
Well, that's wonderful. And people can contact you via the website. Mm-hmm. That's al-woods.com and get in touch with Anna and find out what kind of service would best fit the need that you have. Now, there's something I've got to ask, Anna. 2020, if there's ever been a year that all by itself could be a cause for grief and depression, in 2020 might.
It's been it.
This is it. You know, I think all of us began this new decade and we were all excited. And I had this, you know, this is funny when I look back on it now. I was excited about 2020, and I was in 2019, I was expressing things like I'm looking forward to the 2020 vision
right.
that God's going to give me, and that little play on words, and normally we're looking back, and yeah, I'm looking forward, and then 2020 hits, and it's not long into 2020 that we start hearing about this virus that's in China, and we're thinking, poor China, poor Wuhan. I mean, that's awful. God help them. God bless them. Hey, what are we going to be doing today? And that never dreaming that it was going to have the impact that it has had today. But I would bet that COVID, that coronavirus, these words that we've now become sadly very comfortable with, or at least very familiar with, if not comfortable, pandemic, mm-hmm. lockdown, masks, all of these things, I would have to believe are one huge source of grief for a lot of people. Would you agree?
I absolutely agree. In fact, when I received my certification, I had no idea, God knew, that we would find ourselves where we are in the midst of a pandemic. He knew what his people would need, and he equipped me even before I knew. And so as we move through this atmosphere of COVID, I had a class that had just begun before the lockdown occurred. And so, of course, my class came to a screeching halt.
Mm-hmm.
But I was able to support those who were in the midst of their class via Zoom. We did not complete our standard study, but I was there as a coach to support them through the difficult time of lockdown and isolation and the disruption of COVID-19. But I have since been able to move to an open air class. That class actually completed about 2 months ago. And I have another class that will start next week, another mm-hmm. group that will start next week. So even in the midst of COVID, God provides. He shows you a way to do what needs to be done in order to support his people.
Because COVID and this whole thing of a pandemic is so dynamic, it seems to change every day. It seems that we get different news that would point some days upward, some days downward. I heard a report yesterday that was from a city out west that it's really breaking records and hospitals are jammed and people are concerned. And then the other pockets of the country, they're doing fine. What is a reaction to COVID? What does that look like? Because I have a feeling that many people are maybe grieving that they don't even realize the level of grief that's being brought on by this. How does that affect people?
I see fear. I see a lot of fear in the faces, even on the Zoom calls. And my heart really goes out to some of the elderly who are really have compromised immune systems. And so it's had a huge impact on people emotionally with the isolation that occurs. Mm-hmm. And we know that isolation is not a good thing for people who are grieving. And through COVID, we have such tremendous grief. We grieve that our life is no longer the same. That's mm-hmm. a source of grief. We grieve that we can't hug our friends. We grieve that we can't be in fellowship in church. So we grieve the death of those that we love that have passed away through COVID, and we can't have a traditional, what we would call in my community, home-going service.
Mm-hmm. Funeral services.
Funeral service, yeah. That's correct. So I see tremendous grief all around. And the hope I have is that we would begin to recognize that grief that we feel, there's a way through it. Even in the midst of COVID, that these programs and the mental health part of our society, that there is hope and there is help, mm-hmm. and that people reach out. It's difficult sometimes for people to reach out and say, hey, I need help. I'm struggling. The isolation really hasn't been good for me. So my prayer is that people reach out and seek the help they need as we move through this season of COVID.
Because this thing is so real, and I have no doubt that people are listening right now, identifying and feeling that very fear in their heart. Take just a moment, if you will, and speak to them as if you were talking to somebody who had just confessed to you, I'm afraid. I have this emptiness. I have this deep sense of hurt and loss. Can you help me? What would you say to them?
Of course, if you're feeling loss and that deep sense of hurt, I would say it's normal. It's normal and natural to feel fearful and afraid. And I would say lean in and allow yourself to feel what you feel, but know that it doesn't last, that it will pass. And so while fear, some fear is normal and natural, and some fear is actually healthy. So allow yourself to feel what you feel deep within, and then allow yourself to seek the next step. Don't stay there. Seek the help and get it.
I think that is great advice. I think one of the worst things that is a byproduct, and I don't think any of us have any idea of what kind of long-term result it's going to bring, but this thing of isolation, mm-hmm. when people, like you said, even in church services, now it's better in Florida, but in California, I mean, things are so restricted, they can't even sing in their services there, and that seems amazing to me that they've done that. I talked with Chuck Williams yesterday, a veteran, and he spent time in Scotland and was in school there for a degree, and they even withheld communion.
Mm.
And
wow.
Just that, you know, he talked about the great sense of loss that was in his life because they weren't able to share communion. So, you know, these are days that are difficult. We need each other. And even if traditional ways, I like the way you had said that, even with the lack of traditional funerals that may yet have to happen, I believe one thing that we can do, and that's whether phone calls, whether they're Zoom calls, and when we can get together, we need to combat isolationism in any way we can.
Absolutely. And I will add that my home church in Oviedo, Antioch Missionary Baptist Church, Pastor Jones is my pastor. We are very creative in the way that we still have communion. We have a drive-through pickup for our communion cups. And so we still do communion virtually. They drive through, they pick up mm-hmm. their cups, and we do communion via Zoom. So where there's a will, there's a way, and we have to become more creative in how we touch and reach each other. We've had a drive-through church service, which was just wonderful to be able to be on the campus with the body of believers that you worship with. So there are creative things, and as believers, we can't keep Christ inside of a box. He's mm-hmm. not in a box. He's all-knowing, all-being, and so we have to get outside the box and do what we have to do to be a witness to this world, that the church is alive and the church is well and the church is vibrant, and that's important in this age of COVID.
Well, Anna Woods, and that website again is al-woods.com. It's there for you. It's a beautiful website as well, and you'll find it easy to navigate and find out how you can avail her services. And in a moment, we're going to be back with Anna for one more segment, talking about the future, talking about what we can all hope for and what we can believe for when it comes to these issues that Anna specializes in. She is a life and grief coach. And we shall return in a moment with Anna Woods right here on The Shepherd. It is so great to have Anna Woods in the studio with us today, enjoying finding out what her path has been, what led her to become a life and grief recovery coach, and all of the things that she just shared. That moment of speaking into the heart of somebody who might be going through a really difficult moment. And in a real sense, Anna, I think 2020 has proven it to be the year that all of us have had that moment at some point in this year. As we discussed, it's, you know, a pandemic. It's a cross. It's epidemic across the world. And it's worse, actually, in a lot of countries than it is for us here. Again, going back to something Chuck told me yesterday, he said Scotland has been under a greater sense, much greater sense of lockdown than what we are experiencing in the United States. So people are definitely feeling it. Mm-hmm. Now, your part, you got your certification through an organization. Tell us about that one.
I received my certification from the Grief Recovery Institute. The Grief Recovery Institute certifies grief coaches all over the world. So you can find the Grief Recovery Institute on the web. You can become certified yourself. I actually am an advanced certified grief recovery specialist based on my experience. But they have done a wonderful job with their program in that it is an actionable, evidence-based grief recovery program. And so I received my certification through the Grief Recovery Institute. And they define grief as the loss of any emotional loss that one would experience, which was the first time in my life I had actually have a definition to put to the word grief. Mm. Most of us, when we think of grief, we think of death. But what the Grief Recovery Institute has taught me is that grief relates to any emotional loss that we suffer. And so we all suffer emotional loss. Mm-hmm. So I'm grateful for the education I received through the Grief Recovery Institute. And so my journey began with that study.
You know, this is an emotion that God gave us. It's a way that we respond to life. I think that it could be fair to say that there's a measure of grief that happens at every unexpected turn in our life. If we're expecting one thing, I think of the scripture that says, hope deferred mm-hmm. makes the heart sick.
Yep.
And that heart sickness is a form of grief.
Absolutely.
It's when something happens, what we were hoping for, it doesn't happen. Hey, friends, you're gonna have to deal with that outcome. And everybody has to deal with the outcome. Everybody, whether they're a believer or not, they have to deal. Do you have people that are not believers that come to your classes?
Of course. And I believe therein lies what God has taxed me with, so to speak. Therein lies my heart, in that we can sit in church among other believers or we can get outside the walls and reach people who are unchurched.
Mm-hmm.
And so this gives me an opportunity to reach people who may not otherwise know Christ, who may not have ever opened a Bible. And though I will come with the practical application of how to move through grief, I am a believer. I am rooted in my faith in Jesus Christ. He's my Lord and Savior, and that comes across.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I think our actions need to speak louder than our words. And so that's my heart, is that people will come to this program and they'll get to know Christ as a part of that process. That's my hope. And everything that I do is that this will bring people to Christ.
You know, I often quote a good friend of mine, Danny Jones. He had such an impact on my life. And he would make a statement from time to time that would say, in God's economy, he would start off with that phrase, in God's economy, look how it was worth having to go through the grief. If that was the door that opened your heart, your life, your future up to Jesus. In God's economy, that grief was a really great gift.
Yes, yes. And it is a gift. If we approach it in the right way, if we can look beyond the pain that we feel, that's why the help is so important, to get to that unresolved grief that leaves us stuck in life. Sometimes we don't even recognize that we're stuck in life, but we're actually stuck.
Mm-hmm.
And so in order to move from that place of being stuck, we have to do something. You know, love is an action word. And so you have to get up and actually do something to help yourself. It's not me that do the work. It's actually the client that do the work. I'm just a messenger that guides them through the process.
I heard a preacher say years ago, if we keep on doing what we've already been doing, we're going to have a whole lot more of what we already got.
Nothing changes, does it? Nothing changes.
I tell you what, you're just going to get more. You got to do something different. And what we're talking about today with Anna Woods is that there's an opportunity for you to do something different and to go against the flow, to enter into a time, a season, a way of living, a way of thinking that is somewhat different than what they've been doing. And I think that getting stuck is such a great illustration of a person that's in depression,
mm-hmm.
or a person that is in just this morbid grief that they can't get past. They're stuck, and the only way to get stuck, and again, my scripture-based mind just kind of floods. I think of Psalm 40 that says, I cried out to the Lord, and He heard me, mm-hmm. and He lifted me out of the miry clay. He was
Praise
stuck.
God.
The psalmist was in deep in mire. He was stuck in the miry clay. And I love what it says. And he brought me out, and He set my feet upon a rock, and He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise unto my God. I think that's just powerful.
It certainly is.
What a picture of being set free from grief. But it started with calling out to the Lord.
Absolutely.
And waiting upon the Lord. Sometimes God doesn't do things the way we want Him to do it or on the timetable we want Him to do it.
That's correct. And I think my favorite is of all times, the Psalms 23. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. God is always with us,
mm-hmm.
but we have to do things. We have to be in motion. We can't just sit in our grief. We can't just sit there. We have to get up and take action.
Oh, that is so good. Now, part of the action, sometimes, and this really does happen more than what we think, the action of grief, the situation of grief is brought on in a relationship that it has either affected you negatively, or maybe a person, a friend, it could be even a parent,
mm-hmm.
a husband, a wife, a son or a daughter, could say something, do something that just really crushes a person's heart. And sadly, their spirit can feel crushed as well.
Mm-hmm.
And then there is a need for reconciliation in that. And a lot of times, though, that reconciliation is somewhat thwarted by lack of forgiveness.
That's correct.
So give us what you think about the role that forgiveness carries.
The role that forgiveness carry in your grief recovery is just tremendous. In fact, I would say that forgiveness is the key to moving through your recovery. It doesn't mean that it erases what happens to you. It means that you choose to live beyond what has happened to you. It means that you make a choice, and it's personal, that forgiveness is for you. And when you're liberated because you have a forgiving heart, it means that you can draw closer to Christ. It means that you can love others unconditionally when you can forgive. It means that when people say things against you or falsely against you that are painful for you, it means that you have the power that God's given you to allow those words to drop to the floor and not respond and love them in spite of. And so forgiveness is just, it's key. Forgiveness is everything. God forgave us. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He loved us. He forgives us. He died for us. So forgiveness is everything.
You know, and not only that, but he told us to forgive one another if we want to be forgiven ourselves.
That's correct.
I mean, there's a command there that we really don't have forgiveness given to us as an option. It's really something we're told to do. We're to do it. And what a great picture. You just let them drop. Another friend of mine used to say, let it roll off like water off a duck's back. That's what God wants for us. Mm-hmm. He wants this thing, whatever that thing is, to not be the defining factor that's going to now color and direct the rest of our lives.
That's correct. Forgiveness allows you to live life beyond the pain.
Oh, that is great. That doesn't mean that there's not ever going to be pain, but I love that you can live life in spite of
That's
the pain.
Correct.
And, you know, I also can think of the truth that what hurts us today and the way we even think about it, this is the lie I think the enemy uses often. He makes us feel like there's never going to be a day that pain is not going to be felt the way we're feeling it today.
That's correct.
Like it's impossible to get past it, but it's not impossible.
Yeah, I like to say that my pain has become my superpower. God has taken that pain and he's just kind of transformed it into something just so powerful that I can share that pain, that I can be transparent with the people that come to my grief recovery that I do life coach with. And I really call it doing life with my clients. But I'm able to be transparent about that pain, transparent about what forgiveness looked like. It's not always easy, but it's necessary.
Mm-hmm.
If we want to reconcile ourselves back to Christ, we have to continue to forgive over and over and over because it's his commandment. And to not forgive, to carry an unforgiving heart means that we're separated from Christ. And that's not something that I'm willing to do.
Well, forgiveness is a powerful part. I'm so glad that that's part of your program. Another thing that I think is critical, and we were talking about this during the break, is the fact that we are ill-equipped as people, even as believers, sadly, often. Now, this can be different from group to group, church to church, area to area, individual to individual, etc. But I don't think it's wrong to say, in large, as a general rule, people are not equipped to really know how to deal emotionally with things that come their way.
I do not believe that myself was equipped to deal with some of the emotional loss that I've experienced. And so that's really was the key, the driver to seek additional help. And that we go to school, we get an education in hopes of getting a good job. We get a good job in hopes of buying a house, a car. And we are taught and trained how to do all those things. It's just the way that you're raised to do things. You work hard, you get things. But no one ever teaches us how to lose things.
Mm-hmm.
We've only been taught how to accumulate stuff.
Mm.
But we're never taught how to lose things. So when you lose something emotionally, you don't know what to do with that. You have no point of reference of where to go with that. No one talks about grief. It's a subject that you just bring it up in a crowd and see what happens. And because grief is only associated with, for the most part, if 95% of the people that I've surveyed, if I say grief, what's the first thing come to your mind? The first thing they would say is death.
Hmm.
And so we have only associated grief with death when, in fact, grief is associated with more than 40 other life events that happen to us that trigger these grief emotions in us. So we're not taught about grief. We need to normalize the conversation around grief thus were able to deal with the emotional turmoil that grief presents in our life.
You know, I'm thinking in my own heart, because when I heard you say that before a few moments ago, you said, what would most people think of when they think of grief? Mine was not death. Interestingly, the word that popped in my mind was loss. You know, and because in death, I mean, obviously in death, that's the greatest extent of loss that one can know.
Mm-hmm.
But I've also in my life experienced grief over many other types of issues. And the one common thing that happened in every one of those situations is the word loss.
Yes.
It might be a loss of something that I had prayed for, a loss of something that I had once held, a loss of a direction that I thought God was taking me. And I'm telling you, when that happens, it even to the most mature Christian, that can set a person back.
That's correct.
I think that's something, Anna, that maybe you can speak on here a moment. Do you find that sometimes not only are they not equipped, but sometimes they think they're immune to not having to go through grief, and that's wrong.
Yeah, I think we struggle with, in the society in general, we struggle with the level of transparency that's required so that other people can see that we are hurting, we're in grief. And so if we if we're not transparent, we're not a witness to what God can do. And so, as a believer, it will set you back. When my mother suffered through her cancer experience, I did not expect it. My mother was a believer. I thought, from what I've been taught, and we understand many myths as we go through grief recovery. We talk about myths that we've been taught all our life. So for my mother, I just thought she would go on the glory, right? That's mm-hmm. what we always hear. But instead, I watched my mother suffer, and she eventually passed. But that was not what I expected. But I have to be transparent enough to say, as a believer, that threw me offside.
Mm-hmm.
That uprooted me somewhat. So that's why I needed to be regrounded in my faith, because we all wrestle with these things.
Right.
But we're not transparent to tell people that we're wrestling with these things. And that's a disservice we do for one another.
And I think deep inside, when we are in that lockdown where we're not letting other people in, there can be this phrase that starts to develop where a person, maybe they're upset, not even just with their friend or their relative or whatever, their boss, but they're upset with God because
yes.
something that didn't happen the way that happened. And they'll use this phrase, which I think is a wrong phrase to use. They shouldn't do it. They'll say, I need to forgive God. But I think they need to realize the theology behind that is weak. God didn't sin against them.
That's correct.
God never sins.
That's correct.
And so if we find ourselves not on the recipient end of what we had prayed to God for, it's not that he sinned against us.
No, I say that that's a heart thing. That's a heart thing between you and God that you have to deal with. And so much of this is about your own personal heart. It's about your own personal relationship and how you use the things that God has done for you, how you use those things as a witness to other people. But mm-hmm. it's definitely a heart thing.
It is. And we see that heart, the way God dealt with David, for example, in the Bible. Psalm 51 is such a great, powerful chapter because you can see that he's dealing with the outcome mm-hmm. of just not one decision, but multiple bad decisions in his life. Chiefly, he should have been off to war. Instead, he was up on the roof.
That's correct.
And that's what got him in trouble in the first place. So, hey, note to self, when you're supposed to be at war, go to war. don't hang around the roof.
That's
you might
right.
see something that might get you in a whole heap of trouble, my friend. And that's what happened with David. But we see that David's cry out to God is not one of, I need to forgive you, God. Instead, it's a humble crying out to God, Lord, restore me.
Yes.
Lord,
yes.
Lord, restore to my life the joy
yes.
of my salvation.
Yes.
And I think that humility of heart, coming to God when we've been upset about something, even if there was anger toward God. Repent of that anger.
Absolutely.
Say, Lord, I'm sorry for holding that against you. I shouldn't have held that. How can I hold that against the God of all, the Lord of all, the King of Kings? And I tell you what, David's example, when Nathan came to him, said, you're the man.
Mm-hmm.
Thou art the man. And his response to that was, it was classic, wasn't it? Oh, my goodness. Well, time to go and get with God. And that's what you're doing. You're helping people. We've only got a couple of minutes left. Anna, give us some observations of what you think 2021 is going to offer for people.
Hope.
Hope. I like that.
Hope.
Good answer.
Absolutely. Absolutely hope.
Oh, my goodness.
And as we end this year, we've taken with us many lessons that God has shown us, even in isolation, even in quiet times in our life. And we're going to transition into 2021. I'm going to continue to offer the grief recovery classes for those who are open to come. And I'm hopeful for the love of Christ as we move into 2021.
That's a great hope to have. And I'm thankful that the hope that we have is not shallow. It is powerful. It is not absent from God's power and his will and his word. Anna's website, if you'd like to take part in one of these classes and receive the coaching that she makes available, it is al-woods.com. That's al-woods.com. And her email is Anna at her domain there, al-woods.com. And I can't tell you how much I've enjoyed talking with you. It's just refreshing to hear someone who's devoted her heart and her life to walk out of grief and help others to do the same.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been a wonderful morning spent with you.
Well, thank you. And friends, thank you for being with me today here on Afternoons with Mike. We're going to catch you next time right here on The Shepherd.